Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. If you have stayed with children for just a while, there's a competency you realize that you quickly need to develop. And that is the skill of being a negotiator. You know, so Ajua beats Kofi. And of course, Kofi would come to report. And as a skilled negotiator, you quickly want to reconcile them. So what do? We tell Ajua, Ajua, say sorry to Kofi. And it happens. But very quickly, you realize something. There's a difference between saying sorry and being sorry. There's a difference between saying the words, I'm sorry, and those words flowing from a heart that is sorry. And that is what we want to look at tonight. Let me reverse. You see, I mean, Dan Ajoda. And that's what we want to look at today. We are talking about not just praising the Lord, but we want to think about a heart of praise. Not just having the words and vocabulary to say great things about God and describe Him, but the words of our mouth reflecting the condition of our hearts. How do we have a heart of praise? And our passage this morning is going to show us three things. If we are going to be a people who grow in having a heart of praise, three things. There's a posture you should take. There's a view of God you should have. There's a news you should embrace. A posture you should take. A view of God you should have. A news you should embrace. Our first point, a posture you should take. Clearly, as you look at our psalm, the theme is clear. The repeated phrase, praise the Lord. So look at verse 1. It begins with praise the Lord. Look at the last verse, verse 9. It says, praise the Lord. And actually, in the first verse, three times the word praise is used. Praise the Lord, praise all servants, praise the name of the Lord. Verse 3, the last line, the name of the Lord to be praised. So the theme is there. We have to praise, praise, praise the Lord. But who is required to praise the Lord? Can you answer that from verse 1? Who is required to praise the Lord? Look at the second line of the first verse. Praise the Lord who? All servants of the Lord. The people who will do this, what this verse is saying, this chapter is saying, are the people who have taken the posture of a servant. Of a servant. A servant is one who makes his life and resources available for the use of the other. And this is important because when you look at verse 2, we are told to bless the name of the Lord, another synonym for praise, from this time forth and forevermore. So praise the Lord at all times. Verse 3, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord to be praised. Praise the Lord in all circumstances. How will you be able to praise the Lord at all times and in all circumstances? The first answer is this. You should have the posture of a servant. That between, you should see yourself as a servant of God. Your life is for the service and in service to God. So that when you neglect to praise, you are neglecting your responsibility as a servant. And if you don't see yourself as the servant of God, you will not be available at all times to praise Him. you would also not be willing in all circumstances to praise him. If you are not a servant, you will not be available or willing because you'll be a boss who calls the shots. Servants bring their resources and everything. They put it at the disposal of another. It's supposed to serve the interest of another. So that is the question I want to reflect on. Do you see yourself as a servant of God? Do you use this label on yourself that in relation to God, there are a lot of things you can use to describe your relationship to God. But one of the things you should say is that I am a servant to the Lord. Servants wait to serve their master. Servants wait to receive commands. And here in verse 1, the phrase praise the Lord is actually a command. It's only servants who hear commands and respond. So to have a heart of praise, you should take the posture of a servant. Are you a servant of God or you are the boss of your life? It will make a world of a difference. If you are a boss, you call the shots. Do you see God as your master where you are his servant so that you are available and willing to listen to what he says and you respond? Or God has become a consultant. Do you know how we treat consultants? They are there to serve us. We tell them how far they should go, where they should look at, what they should do for us. If you are not a servant of God and God is your consultant, praise of God will not be from this time forth and forevermore, will not be from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. You would have your specific times and specific circumstances where you'll be available and willing to praise God. So that in certain situations, when you read the Bible and the Bible says, or somebody says, no, you should praise the Lord, you say, for what? Because you are not a servant. You are a boss. So our first point, if we are going to have a heart of praise, we should take the posture of a servant. So a posture we should take. But secondly, our passage helps us to a view of God we should have. To have a heart of praise, there's a view of God you should have. What is this view of God? Look at verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. And in scripture, sometimes the way the Bible makes a point is to raise a question. Okay. And what is presumed in the question is that the answer is so obvious. There's only one right answer, and you're going to take the answer. I remember back in the days in school, we used this trick. We asked somebody a question. Does your mother know that you're a thief? How do you answer this? If you say yes, you are affirming. If you say no, you are still affirming. So the conclusion is there. We are just playing around with words. Okay. The Bible also asks us questions. Not that it doesn't have the answer, but it says the conclusion is obvious. So look at the question we are asked. In verse 6, it begins in verse 4. Verse 5. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and in the earth? Now he wants an answer from you. And the answer is no one. The view of God we should have is that Lord, verse 4, who is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. I remember this songwriter, he says, Nyankopon ne kesiye akata obia so. The greatness of God covers everyone and everything. the view of God, the Lord who is high and lifted up. And we are given two actions that is attributed to God. Verse 5, who is seated and who also looks down. He is seated on high, so the idea of his authority is unquestioned. He is not fighting with anybody for his seat. He's seated on high. But he's not just seated and comfortably enjoying himself. The Bible says he looks far down. And from verse 7 to 9, we are given two concrete situations where the Lord who looks far down is shown. Verse 7, in relation to the poor and in relation to the barren. In relation to the poor, we are told, he looks far down, he stoops so low to do what? To raise the poor from the dust. The poor here is an economic term. So the person lacks resources. And if you lack resources, it leads to something. Look at verse 7b, you become needy. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, from the dunghill, from the Agbogboloshi landfill site. He's the Lord who roams about the landfill site to raise the poor from the ash heap. So this is the view of God we should have. The Lord who is high and lifted up, but who takes interest in the low and marginalized. He lifts up. We see God's transforming action on behalf of the powerless. We see God who reverses the plight of the powerless. The Lord who brings reversal in the lives of people. For the poor is not the end of the story, because there's the Lord who is high and lifted up, who is also able to lift people up. So the concrete action in relation to the poor, no, number one. But secondly, look at verse 9. He gives the barren woman a home. And think about this society. In Jewish society, the worst state of any woman in that society is to be barren. You not able to give your husband children. Even in situations where people give birth to children, just ladies, that even is a problem. Now imagine if you have no children. Having only children is a problem because the name of the family is carried by the male. So if you have only ladies, your husband's family are telling you that, you are just here to destroy the family. Now think about one who has born no children. Think about the sense of, because of the society, the sense of shame, the sense of alienation the person feels. And I think our society is a bit like this. A couple of weeks ago, I was having a conversation with a brother, I think from Uganda. He's a church planter. We're having the conversation, and he told me about his home. He says for the first 5 years, they had to wait for 5 years before they had their first child. And he said, Amiao, everything died in the home. So as a pastor, you go for naming ceremony, and then you are naming people's children. You are praying for people, and they are having children, and then you come home, and it's empty. He says, like, there was no joy in the home. So much to the extent that they actually had to relocate from the city that they were living in to another city. It's hard. But this Psalms tells us of a God who takes interest in the barren. Verse 9, he gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. The view of God we should have, the one who is high and lifted up, who is able to bring reversals in the lives of people. He doesn't simply empathize. He does, that is why he acts, but he actually transforms. The psalmist is showing us the view of God. The God whose transformative action on behalf of his people brings a reversal. This is the God we are called to praise. So, praise the Lord. Praise him. This is the God we are called to praise. But I acknowledge there's a problem. Do you know what the problem is? So here in the passage, verses 4 to 9 is acting as a motivation for our praising the Lord. So if you ask yourself, who is the God you are supposed to praise? He's giving us that vision. He is the Lord who is high and lifted up, who is able to bring reversals in the life of people. But the question some of us may be asking now is, where is he? If he's able to bring a reversal, why is my situation persisting? If he's able to lift up the poor from an ash heap, why is it that my life feels like a trash? Where is this God? So that what the psalmist is doing in giving us a vision of God as a motivation for praise, actually for some of us, is becoming a stumbling block. If he's indeed this high and lifted up and takes interest in people, why is it that it appears in my case he's not taking any interest? That is why there's a news you should embrace. So when we read this psalm, and naturally we should do that, we are looking over the horizon, waiting for the intervention and the reversal of God so that we, like the psalmist here, can praise the Lord. But you see, when you take that posture, it means that your praise, you are not taking the posture of a servant. Your praise is not from this time forth and forevermore. Your praise is staggering. You have pressed and pause on praise, waiting for God to intervene so that you praise. So there's a news you should embrace from here. Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 is a psalm that is sung by the Israelites during the Passover. So they sang some, I think 113 before 113 to 115 before they had the meal, and they sang the rest of the psalms after they had the meal. So this psalm was actually also sung by Jesus as an Israelite. He sang it during the Passover. But Jesus, unlike all other Israelites who sang the psalm, he actually lived the psalm in the opposite way. We are told of the activity of God of lifting up the poor and sitting them, look at verse 8, and sitting them with princes. But Jesus was the Israelite who was a prince who became poor. Why? For you. He is the one who was in glory with the Father. But he actually became poor, became a servant, and he died like a criminal. The prince becoming an outcast. Why? For you. And in our case, it's even more glorious because we are told that when God lifts up the people, verse 8, to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. But for Jesus, he came so low so that he can lift us even higher. So that for people in him, we are told, we are not just seated with princes of people, we are told that we are seated with him in heavenly places. So that it means that in Christ, the reversal that this passage is pointing to, you have experienced it. You are no longer that outcast people know. You have been exalted and seated in heavenly places. The ultimate reversal that you need in your life, Jesus Christ has done it for you. And so, now that's why it's important. If you don't embrace this news, if you don't rejoice in this news, your circumstances will always become a stumbling block to praising the Lord. Because if you neglect the ultimate reversal on the cross Jesus has achieved for you, you will be waiting for the reversal of your circumstances before you praise the Lord. And that would be a big hindrance from you. Because for all of us, our circumstances never ever fully tell us to praise the Lord. If anything at all, our circumstances tell us, like Job, curse God and die. Forget about him. But that is because there's a news you are not embracing. There's something you are anticipating, but not with the news that you should have. You are looking forward to what God will do without embracing and celebrating what God has done. You know, the psalmist, this psalm actually from verse 7 to 9, he's actually quoting the song of Hannah. Hannah sang this song when God intervened. So the psalmist is actually praising the Lord, looking back at the intervention of God in the life of Hannah. You would also be able to have a heart of praise if you look back to the intervention of God in Jesus Christ on your behalf. And so to the degree that you are embracing this news, to the degree that you are rejoicing in this news, to the degree that you are hearing the melody of this news, to that degree, notwithstanding your current circumstances, your praise will not only be waiting, marking time for the reversal of God in your circumstances, because you are already celebrating the reversal of Jesus on your behalf on the cross. Shall we pray? Every cell, oh yeah, nana do ye wo, oh every cell, Yesu ye, oh yeah. Na na do ye wo, oh every cell, Yesu ye, oh ye, na na do ye wo. Because
He is good, and His mercy shall endure.
So, Father, we thank You, Lord. Open our eyes to the truth that we have been lifted up, so that, Lord, our vision of You would be a vision of the Lord who takes interest in the lonely, so that our posture towards You will be that of a servant. That, Lord, our hearts can overflow with Your praise as Your servants. We say, Lord, we are Yours. We avail ourselves to You, O God. Your praise from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Even when we don't understand what You are doing, Your praise will flow from our hearts unto You. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.